2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. Utah, USC. It's the Pac-12 championship game as the Utes look to punch their ticket to another Rose Bowl. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell on the road currently to the Pac-12 championship game. Utah-USC, that's tomorrow. But don't leave tomorrow. They've given us all of the heads up that you can get. And so we're passing it along. All the weather people, including the most important ones in this building, Kevin Eubank included, say get out of Dodge right now if you're trying to make that trip down there. Do it early because tomorrow's not going to happen. Bad snowstorm coming through. And if you've never been on a snowstorm on I-15 through that corridor on your way down to St. George, it's not good. You don't want to do it. So stay safe out there and leave tonight, man. Another excuse to just be like, sorry, honey, I got to get down there. I got to get down to Vegas early. You know, weather. Joining us on the program right now, of course, hosts of Jake and Ben, every day 10 to noon right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports, and also pre-half and post with he and Tim Lacombe do such an amazing job every night. I get the chance to listen to pretty much the entire pregame every time before I get home on those nights at these 7 o'clock tip-offs. And so the Jazz get a win last night. They snapped the winning streak. Jake, thanks for coming on, man, because the solo shows are the worst, and getting my buddies on is always the best way to do it.
Oh, man, my pleasure. Anytime. Anytime for you guys. Of course you know that. I do have a quick comment on our guy, Scott Mitchell. You know what? He's Scott Mitchell. He's one of the best Utah quarterbacks in history. Why isn't he on? Wasn't he on Huntsman One or something? Why is he?
Huntsman One
driving down there. driving down there.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
Like, hey, you know what
like
happened?
You got Scott Mitchell calling the game, going to the game.
I know.
You got to get him on whatever jet that's going
remember,
down there. What's
so
he driving
I've
for?
I've got some insider info on this. COVID All hit. Right. So they used to take two charter jets to every game, the team. Two jets, and it was like the team and then all of Witt's family, which accounted for basically half of one of the planes. And then the second plane was like the band, the cheerleaders, and the broadcast team and a couple of other support staff. And then they after COVID, they bagged the second plane. So it's like,
oh, man.
Yeah. So they've Scott's over here buying Comfort Plus so he can get his 6'6" frame into into the exit row. So, it's a bummer for him. But yeah, he's headed down, and he's also one of those guys too that goes, I like to drive, I like to think. So plus, as soon as this game happened, there were no flights. Like I don't know one person unless they have a private jet they were able to be like, it's tough to get flights. So ton of people leaving today, and that's the encouragement that you can do it before that snow hits. And yeah, well, let's talk about that SC and Utah game. What changes in this one, aside from the location, but how do you think this one changes? Does USC come in there with the revenge factor and go at the Utes? Or is it does Utah just have USC's number right now? It seems to be that way over the last few years.
Well, I think the difference is for the Utes is their defense. How much better is their defense than when the two teams matched up the first time? And you, Caleb Williams are obviously super dynamic offensively, and they're going to put up points and yards. But, you know, how many stops can that defense get? Because I do think it's improved. And Utah's offense is a little banged up. I don't think you can count on those types of performances from Dalton Kincaid or Cam Rising again, because they were just super.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think I got to make up the difference on the defense. And, you know, if they can find a way to throw, if Cam can be, you know, healthy enough, can plant, you know, and find a way to sling it, that's where USC is vulnerable. But, you know, that's where Oregon was vulnerable, and they couldn't do anything about it. So I think Utah's got to, you know, put their adult pants on and play some stout defense against a really good USC offense. And that would be the difference. If Utah were to win, I would bet it's because that defense came up
there. Well, and, you know, giving up six touchdowns is not really the Kyle Whittingham and Morgan Scalley way on defense anyway. They did it those 2 weeks in a row between UCLA and that loss the week before USC. And even in the win, they gave up a ton of yards, a ton. And it was a slow start. That's the other thing that can't happen this weekend. You cannot have the ridiculous slow start, because I think it was 21-3 kind of right off the bat, or 21-7 kind of right off the bat. It was quick, and they had it was Utah playing from behind the entire rest of the game until that very last conversion. So you cannot have the slow start. And, you know, that benefited them last year. You think about how quickly they got off to a start against Oregon in the game here in Salt Lake, and then the exact same thing happened down there in Vegas. So there's no time to screw around, because this SC offense is legit. It's ridiculous, and hopefully that Utah defense has turned a corner. Speaking of turning a corner, is winning one game after a five-game skid, is that turning a corner, or what did we learn last night about this Jazz team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, get the parade going. that says not, honey. There you go. Uh-huh. That's my 5-year-old who is
I love
doing
it.
Her homework.
I love
and
it.
Learning to read. So she's doing great. Anyway, one game. No, yes, fire up the parades, Alex. Let's get the route going. Let's make this thing happen. I think the team needed a win, because it's hard to lose five in a row. I haven't changed my expectations much, even though the beginning of the season has been a roller coaster. You know, they're going to have a tough time winning against good teams. But, you know, they're going to play hard, and they're going to be a lot of fun to watch, and they're really going to develop as a squad. But, you know, especially without Mike Conley, you know, it's going to be tough to certainly continue the pace they started the season at. And, you know, it's bound to come down to earth a little bit, just because, you know, the team has some certain vulnerabilities that are kind of built in and that are tough to overcome. But, you know, there are nights like last night where, you know, they defensive rebound as a team, you know, all five guys in the paint, because they don't have a great rebounder. And Coach Hardy's talked about that. And you saw that big time against the Clippers and playing team defense. And, you know, last night was a pretty interesting game, because they obviously were really wanted to win it. And the way Coach Hardy coached, he really wanted to win it as well.
When you talk about Will Hardy coaching, it's hard to, like, really see the effect sometimes, because those guys are standing there and they kind of – you'll see them – they'll move their hand around, and then when they take the time out, they go stand with their coaches in their little huddle for a minute, and you go, man, what are they talking about right here? What are they going to do next? And what are the things that – people are seeing that Will Hardy's doing that maybe they can go, that's why he's doing a great job coaching. Last night, for example, they go, look, we have to – Jared Vanderbilt, we're going to need a double-double out of you because Zubac is going to kill us on the boards, and so somebody's got to show up. But what are the things that he's doing that you're like, man, I love that he does that in his coaching?
Oh, I thought last night the post game was extremely interesting because of two kind of anecdotal things that he talked about, two interactions with players. And Alex, you played some sports back in your amateur day, mm-hmm. and there were coaches that were really good communicators because they figured out how to communicate with the players that they were talking to and different ways to push their buttons and identify that sort of thing. Anyway, Coach Hardy mentioned two things. First, he talked about when Hardy went to pull him, and Clarkson said, "Don't."
Oh boy!
I assure you. And Clarkson goes on to play 40 minutes and have a huge night. So that turned out to be a pretty good decision. And then he relayed Colin Sexton in the fourth quarter came to him and said, "Coach, I need a breather." And Coach Hardy told him no.
How does that work?
He said, "Take advantage of this timeout. Go get some water. Get some electrolytes in you. But we need you to go back out and play." And when Sexton, well, you know, same story, but then said his reaction was, "Well, all right. I'm going to go out there and do it for you. Okay, if that's what you need, coach."
Awesome.
You know, in one circumstance, he trusted Jordan Clarkson to do what Jordan was assuring him he was going to do and be a smart veteran player, leader, knew what they needed to do to win the game. And in the other, he went against what the player wanted, said, "No, I need you. I need you on the floor. Go get some water. It's really important that you're good right now. Go get them." And Sexton took it as a challenge. You know, he's like, "All right, coach, that's what you need. We'll go do it." And I think that's a good sign for effective communication, which I think we can all agree is pretty important in that position.
Well, and I think also, like, there could have been a different reaction. And I think we know guys across the league that would have a different reaction and coaches who would have a different reaction. And that's I think that's a sign of not just healthy interaction, but like probably where the team is, right, in terms of being able to take that kind of stuff and listen to their coach. Another set of back-to-backs. They've got tomorrow against the Pacers at home, Trailblazers Saturday at home, and then they're going to go next week as well. Their next two games are going to be at home there. So they get a stretch of four games here at home. They've already had two. And so Pacers tomorrow, that's going to be – you guys are going to be doing pregame while the Utes are kicking off too. That's going to be one of these fun both TVs up, watching all the things all at the same time. But what's this game look like tomorrow against the Pacers and maybe just the stretch of the next two games against them and the Blazers?
Well, the NBA scheduling, I don't know who in the Jazz organization, you know, what they did to tick off the NBA front office or, you know, scheduling office. But it's been crazy, the amount of road games they played, the amount of games they've played total, and I'm not making excuses for anybody. I'm just pointing out the facts that the Jazz have played more road games and more games than anybody in the league. And then they come home, Alex, for the next game. They're all against good teams. All the game. I mean, you know, Indiana's not the best team in the
sure.
East, but they're in the playoff picture at the moment. They're well coached and they're talented, and that's not an easy win. Portland's been the story. You know, the start that they're off to, and we've already seen, you know, Portland. That's going to be a tough win. You know, it just the Clippers rested a bunch of guys. Maybe that game wasn't as difficult as it may have looked on paper, but you know, that wasn't easy. The Bulls are better than people think, and a tough game regardless. So I mean, the schedule has just been something brutal. So I would guess, honestly, it's going to be a hard weekend. It's going to be an uphill slog. Best chance, though, is to win tomorrow night and beat the Pacers for sure.
There you go. Jake Scott, Jake and Ben, every day, 10 to noon. And then tomorrow you can hear them as everything's going to be kicking off with Utah. You're going to get the Ute pregame show at 5 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, Jake and Tim take over and give you some pregame with this Jazz-Pacers matchup tomorrow at Vivint. So, Jake, thanks for hanging out, man. And good luck with the parenting and good luck with the phonics because it's always fun.
Alex, man, it's always a pleasure. Anytime, you know, for sure. Love coming on.
All right. Appreciate it. There's Jake Scott. First job for 1280 The Zone, I sat next to Jake and answered phones while he taught me how to push the dump button when people cussed when they called in. Here are the words. We just watched all we did was watch the George Carlin skit on the things you can't say. It was a good tutorial. If you hear that and I'm out of the booth, you hear that, you hit this big old silver plunger. Boom. Yeah. Jake and I spending some early mornings there. Calling up Grand America. How's Greg Popovich there? Can you send me to Greg Popovich's room, please? Thank you. That's all you used to be able to do. Just call up the hotel and say, hey, we're from the radio station. We're doing a phone call with the visiting team coach. Let's do it. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. Love having Jake on. When we return, got ourselves some stuff to chat about around the corner. We've got a little bit of the bowl gifts and what they're now turning into in 2022. You do not want to miss what you could be winning if you are going to the Cheez-It Bowl, okay? It's actually better than you might be thinking in your mind. It is not bad. I don't know if you'd want to necessarily win it as a grown adult, but college kids, man, they love it. Join Scotty and Hans, by the way, tomorrow for Football Friday, noon to 3. They're going to be at Mountainland Power Equipment at the new store there in Salt Lake, 2808 South Main Street. Scotty will be there at least, and probably Mac, Coach Mac, and Alema might make an appearance there too. Hans is going to be live from Las Vegas, so there you go. Got everything covered for you there. Mountainland Power Equipment at the new store for Football Friday, 2808 South Main Street. We'll take the break. We'll come back around the corner with more to go. Stay right here, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.